Sorry. Stop you where you go. You want to go, okay? Sorry. And my show's done right now. Sorry. I'm in a hurry. You'll be ready. You want to go. Hello, everybody. Hi, and welcome. This is Bobby Elias. Let's create a better world. Healthy aging. Today, we're going to have on Dr. David Cerio. He is a cleanser, nutritional medicine, a great young doctor who spent 20 years preparing. He's been doing work for 20 years on great cleansing. He worked with Dr. Bob Marshall and Dr. David Bland. No, Dr. Jeff Bland, I'm sorry. And we're going to have him on in a short while. Let me just tell you a little more about our show briefly. Our show is about aging, about health, about changing the world. We're going to be having on in the next few weeks a segment on ending all wars. There's a new coalition that I'm part of, great anti-war activists that are dead set on doing some big things this year. So I'm excited. We're going to talk about cell phone radiation, exercise, yoga, dance, and movement in the next few weeks. If you like our show, you can check it out on archives. You can go to iTunes and rate us. Here's the phone number for those that don't have a laptop or computer or they're away from it and they want to hear the show. Area 712-432-7238. All right, let's get to our guest. Dr. David Cerio is doing a lot of great work in cleansing. Welcome to the show, Dr. Cerio. How are you?
Thank you, Bob. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Yeah, you've got a great background. From beyond what I said, tell us a little more about yourself and how you got into this.
Well, my story goes all the way back to when I was about 16, 17 years old. I was in a terrible car accident. And that led to my first experience of having to see a chiropractor for my neck, and that chiropractor then introduced me to not only to helping my spinal column and whole musculoskeletal system and relieving severe headaches that I had begun experiencing, but then it led to going to nutrition seminars, of which I was completely intrigued. And from those seminars, which were put on by some nutrition companies that were specific to doctors, I didn't understand anything about what was being said, but I was so interested in it. I had such a curiosity about wanting to learn it. That started my journey of the last 20 years of delving into nutritional biochemistry, which ultimately led to beginning a private practice that led to having the opportunity to help thousands of chronically ill patients.
Wow, this is great. Yeah, and you do cleansing. Now, we've got a lot of listeners that know a lot about health, and cleansing is something that I'd like to, for those new listeners or people that are new to health, give us a nutritional 101 just on cleansing. What's it all about? What does it do?
Well, Bob, the idea of cleansing has been around for ages, obviously. The last several decades, it's become more and more popular of a concept of cleansing the body. As much as we are all genetically unique, and that genetic uniqueness leads to biochemical individuality, we all have an individual biochemistry and metabolism that we should all be thought of, you know, in a unique way. There's not one diet, for instance, that works perfectly for everyone. The food of one can be the poison of another, and we know that. That's why I sort of reject the concept of the perfect diet that works for everyone. Vegetarian's not for everyone. Eating meat, being a carnivore, is not for everyone. So I think that we all have to discover, and we're best at discovering for ourselves what works best for us. But if you are Homo sapien, I'm assuming that everyone listening in your audience is, then we all share commonalities, and that is, we all build up toxic buildup from eating over a lifetime 100,000 pounds of the standard American diet. Now, many of your listeners obviously don't eat the standard American diet, which we know is abbreviated SAD, because they're more well-informed, higher consciousness level about eating right, eating appropriately, and knowing that we are ultimately what we eat. So what we need to do is ask, well, what do we share in common? What are those areas of the body that could be cleansed, that indeed need to be cleansed? We all know that our cars need this kind of regular maintenance, but how many of us know that our colon, our liver, and our gallbladder need a regular cleanse or flush to function properly? Because many people, as we all know, end up in the ER with gallbladder disease or with colon cancer or with polyps or any number of different types of conditions, colitis, irritable bowel syndrome, that which would have largely been avoidable had they simply addressed these issues from a cleansing perspective. And, of course, the cleanse that I'm referring to is partially doing things such as coffee enemas, partly taking different fiber sources, drinking adequate water, eating more of a raw food diet, not necessarily exclusively, but certainly in that direction, because eating raw food, particularly plant-based food, is indeed in the best interest of all of our genes. And we know as well, conversely, that eating a principally white color diet, which would be white flour, white sugar, highly heated oils, is definitely not in the best interest of all of our genes.
Yeah, you know, you hit on a really important thing, what you said about so many people, had they just got that tune-up, like we all tune up our cars and we get oil change, but we don't do that for our body, which is to cleanse it. If more people cleanse themselves, we'd avoid so many sicknesses. And, you know, unfortunately, people just don't know a lot of this, and this is why I'm on a mission on this radio show to educate the world about health and about cleansing and about so many things that we talk about on this show. So I really think that's great. And I think what you're doing is tremendous, David. Now, tell me more about what you learned with Dr. Bob Marshall. Tell us about Bob Marshall, because he's a great doctor, very famous. And just tell us a little more about him and how you got involved with him and how you, what he did and what you know, what some of the things going on with you and him.
Well, interestingly, Dr. Marshall and I came to know one another. I was working as a technical consultant for Biotics Research Corporation, which is one of the largest manufacturers of nutritional remedies to doctors. And as I called upon Dr. Marshall in Los Angeles, California, we sat down, and he was one of the very few people, along with one or two others, that really impressed me that they had the answers. They knew what they were talking about. And when I heard him speak, and he was very polite and very respectful to me, which I appreciated, but when he spoke, I realized it was time for me to shut up. and I guess if there's any wisdom that I can claim, it would be the fact that at least I recognized brilliance when I see it and hear it. So I sat and listened. I said, you know, I really want to learn from you. I want to spend some time with you. And he invited me to come and spend time with a group of doctors, which was wonderful, and certain nights he would teach on different topics. I think it was a Thursday night, and we'd have a group of doctors come, medical doctors, chiropractors, and we would discuss prostate issues, PMS, menopause, hormone imbalance, malignancy, any number of topics relating to health and disease. And so that's how my journey with Dr. Marshall started. Then, of course, he eventually asked me to come and join his wellness center there in Torrance, California, and at some point I started to see patients doing kinesiology, eventually doing clinical nutrition and testing and addressing chronic illness. So what he did, though, is he gave me an appreciation, Bob, for this biological machine that we call our body, as having been brilliantly designed and engineered as a masterpiece. And one of the things that we have come to appreciate is that our body is really a self-diagnosing and self-repairing mechanism, because God made it that way. And it's when you recognize that you understand that as you take a drug to palliate a symptom, that's all it's doing. It's not addressing the underlying cause. The symptom is not the cause of a disease or disorder or dysfunction. And before there's ever a diagnosable disease, there's molecular changes which lead to cellular changes, which then lead to tissue and organ gland changes that say, well, this tissue is not doing what it's supposed to be doing. It's breaking down, it's degenerating, it's time to recognize that and do something about it. And so instead of masking symptoms, we use those very symptoms in functional or in nutritional medicine as a measure to determine what's really going on with the body so we can address underlying causation.
Which most doctors don't do. They don't get into the root cause of what's wrong with you. You go into the people mm-hmm. go to the doctor's offices for 5 or 7 minutes, boom, boom, hit, hit, here, take these pills. That's it. And
that's
you,
right.
Most of the prescription pills are deadly with side mm-hmm. effects that are really bad and killing this country. Mm-hmm. And I know that Dr. Gary Null has really talked about that in some of his DVDs about how medical industry and the hospitals are people are dying from all this stuff. And that's what I like about you. David, I read a lot of your materials, and I talked mm-hmm. to you in person, and you look like a picture of health. And I know you're relatively young compared to some of the great doctors that you've learned from.
Mm-hmm.
You're on your way to being one of those people where people are going to go to you, and they're going to stop and shut up, and they're going to listen to you, because I wouldn't have you on this radio show if I didn't think so much of you, Dr. David. You're on your way to good things, really.
Thank you so much. I appreciate those kind words. I have to say, over the years, speaking of Dr. Null, I have learned so much from him as well. He's been a contributing author to the Townsend Letter for Doctors and Patients over the years, as you well know. And
yes.
Dr. Gary Null has been an inspiration to me and to so many others. He's really a pioneer. He's been around for so many years that we look back and we think of certain names of these docs, like Bernard Jensen comes to mind,
and
so many, Dr. Jeff Bland, of course, even Dr. Bob Marshall, who have influenced literally probably hundreds of thousands of others in this field of clinical nutrition and chronic disease care. And Dr. Null is certainly not the least among them. But
finish up.
I was just going to say, you know, what you were just saying, I just wanted to remark as I was thinking about it, that as doctors, if doctors in the medical field are indeed to hold to their own Hippocratic oath, which is at first do no harm, then using these toxic, synthetic, pharmaceutically produced chemicals to treat chronic disease will always be untenable or unacceptable. And the saying is true, that a drug is not a drug without a side effect, as you well said. So then you as a doctor are always doing harm, and you're inducing side effects in a patient, and you're masking the very symptoms that you need to guide you toward the remediation of the ultimate underlying cause of the disease. So as much as we in crisis intervention or acute care medicine, we need to stabilize a patient and help them to get back to normal, so to speak, get back to balance. Then once that they're stable, you got to start asking a different question. And of course, the saying is true that the questions we ask determine the answers we get. So we got to start asking different questions when it comes to addressing symptoms of chronic disease.
Yes, very good. Now, you know, Dr. Gary Null will probably be in Los Angeles in the summer, and mm-hmm. I definitely want to invite you to come and meet him. When he comes, I drive him around L.A. He's usually here for 2 days, sometimes 2.5 days, mm-hmm. and we've had long talks, and one of the things we got to talking about was how he asked me about how I got started in health. And I told him that I went to the health shows, and I've been mm-hmm. following it since I was a kid, that I met Dr. Pablo Arreola, and I also
yes.
met Dr. Paul Bragg.
Uh-huh.
And they were two of the greats. And then we both know about Dr. Jensen, Bernard
yes.
Jensen. So we had he kind of grew up in the same – learning from some of them, reading their books and stuff, and he got off to a start, Dr. Gary Null did, at a very
yep.
young age, because he
yep.
was he was doing all these things. So I really admire that, and I just like to see how some of the people that have been around show the new people what to do, the younger people, and then they get on, and like yourself, you're not real young, but you're definitely not old, and you're on your way, and I'm very impressed by everything that you're doing. So let's talk about the next thing here. Briefly, we had a lot of things to talk about, but nutritional biochemistry,
mm-hmm.
that's kind of a word that a lot of people don't know about it, but briefly, could you tell us what that is?
Absolutely. In laboratory biochemistry, you do a lot of experimentation using lab equipment. which is important to learn. It's important to understand the foundation of biochemistry. And fortunately, when you study this, I often tell my patients and the people that I teach in seminar settings as well, that you don't have to go through 7 or 8 years of advanced education to learn how to address illness in your body. It simply requires that you have a certain degree of intellectual curiosity to start asking different questions and to become well-informed and somewhat educated, not relying upon your internist or your doctor, your general, practitioner doctor, because they're not well-informed when it comes to nutrition and wellness. We don't really have a true healthcare system, as you know, Bob, in this country. We have a disease care system. You can't diagnose something that you don't have. So you don't generally wake up in the morning and say, gosh, I feel wonderful today. I think I'll go to Dr. Jones' office and ask him why. We always wait until something is wrong, and we go to the fix-it shop. We wait till something breaks down, which, of course, is not a wise approach, because we try not to do that with our car. We maintain our car oftentimes better than we maintain our body. So I think that the key is to start recognizing that our bodies, being a brilliantly designed machine, need regular maintenance. And the cleanse is what, as we were discussing, is what plays into that maintenance. It's a really intelligent starting point to address the key organs of the body, since the colon, of course, is the septic tank of all our bodies. It builds up a lot of toxic waste, and it needs to be cleansed on a regular basis. The number one cancer, as we all know collectively, between men and women is colon cancer.
Right.
With men, of course, it's prostate cancer. With women, it's breast cancer, specific to the gender. But collectively, it's colon cancer. More specifically, it's colorectal, which is the end point of the colon. That's the area that we have access to using enemas, coffee enemas or colonics. Nothing wrong with colonics either, but that's one approach. That's one of the aspects of the type of cleansing that we do in what I call the peak performance body cleanse. And then, of course, there's internal cleansing, taking certain fibers, taking certain clays, taking certain, of course, green formulas, as you're well aware of. And then the liver gallbladder part of it, we've actually formulated a way to cleanse the gallstones and the sludge out of the liver and gallbladder without having to chug down ounces and ounces of olive oil, which is the traditional way, which 90% of the people out there probably will reject and say, that's for really, intense zealots that are willing to do that. I just don't think I can chug down glasses of olive oil, but thank you very much. So we've designed a way where we can do it using capsules, and it still works quite well.
Can you hear me?
I'm having
trouble when you spoke. Okay, now one of the people I work with very closely in nutrition asked me to ask you if you'd go just a little more in depth on colonics and the good, the bad, how do you go about them, and why they're important.
Well, I'm glad you asked that in that way, because the good and the bad, everything that we do, Bob, as you know, it has a strength and sometimes a weakness. Things are not always 100% good or 100% bad. So we always look and assess everything from the standpoint of the greater good and the lesser evil, and doing a risk-benefit analysis on every therapy and on every potential drug that we have to sometimes consider. But when it comes to colonics, I think the benefit so far outweighs any drawbacks. The drawback sometimes is thought of as washing away the good bacteria. However, the pathogenic bacteria that builds up from toxic buildup, being impacted fecal matter, being stuck in the diverticuli of the colon, those little pockets of the colon that build up over the years, especially as we age, is so much more detrimental and deleterious to the body. It produces chemical compounds called indoles and scatols, which are some of the most toxic cancer-causing compounds that we know of. So my perspective is that cleansing the colon, you can always re-inoculate the small and large intestine, the large intestine being the colon, with the friendly bacteria, the probiotic. That's easy to do. It's relatively easy to do. And of course, you can eat kefir and yogurt on a regular basis, which re-inoculates it on a regular basis through your dietary intake. But there's all kinds of wonderful probiotics, as you know, that you can also use. But in order to get rid of, because we all thin with some of the food we eat. We eat white flour bread, you know, we eat pastries, we eat pies and cakes at Christmas and Thanksgiving. And as good, much as some of us do better than others, you're still going to build up some toxic waste. Our colon, or I should say our whole gastrointestinal tract from mouth to anus is about 26 feet. It's very long. And in that length, some of it is absorption, some of it is just storage, and then some of it is simply storage for elimination purposes. There is some absorption that takes place in the colon, but the primary purpose of the colon is to be used as a holding receptacle until we can eliminate it. And unfortunately, it just simply builds up a lot of toxic, very pathogenic species of bacteria, sometimes, as you know, parasites, parasitic protozoa, worms, viral, different types of viruses, and it's better to thoroughly cleanse the colon using hydrocleansing, that's the colonics or the coffee enemas, and then re-inoculate the intestine, then leave it in that toxic state.
That's great. Wow. Yeah, another question that was asked of me to ask you, and it's something that I like to get your thoughts on, is oxygen therapy. A lot of our listeners, we've heard of it, I've seen it at health shows, but tell us about that.
Well, I'm assuming you're referring to oxygen therapy as in hyperbaric oxygen?
Right, right.
Hyperbaric, yeah. Hyperbaric chambers. I think that they've been shown to be very, very useful, particularly with post-stroke patients. Also, it's been used with cerebral palsy children to be very helpful. So certain conditions, again, we go back to risk-benefit. They're not without some risk. Anytime you expose yourself to different forms of oxygen, including hyperbaric oxygen, oxygen always has the potential to turn into what they refer to in chemistry as radical species. So that's singlet or triplet forms of oxygen, which are highly reactive, highly radical. So they basically form molecular time bombs inside the body at the cell membrane level, and they damage cell membranes. And ultimately, they can get into the cells and into the tissues and lead to cancer. We know the etiologic basis of cancer is oftentimes damage to the DNA, and that's from a lack of adequate antioxidants. And antioxidants are what counteract these radical oxygen species. So oxygen is something that we need the O2 version of it, obviously, to breathe. We must breathe, but every time we breathe, we're also breathing in small amounts of these radical species of oxygen, O1 and O3, which can be detrimental to the body. So the name of the game is, if you're going to use hyperbaric oxygen or you're going to use hydrogen peroxide therapy, that's using actual small amounts of hydrogen peroxide that you consume orally, the best thing you can do is take plenty of very good source, powerful antioxidants to counteract any negative effects.
So antioxidants are a good thing. Well, we should all be taking those. Excuse me. Speaking of antioxidants, which are very important, greens. I want to ask you a question about that. Young years ago, I was selling a lot of chlorophyll and and spirulina, and I noticed this. I learned this quickly because I was with a gentleman that really knew greens quite a bit as far as selling them and talking to people about them. And we noticed that that we would sell the greens to somebody, and we had learned the hard way that some people would take the greens, we're talking about, and just take them too fast. In other words, start up at a high level right off the bat. And what happened to these people, they would get sick, immensely sick, different, everything kind of sickness you can think of. So we learned that, and the reason being, I would tell people is, look, in your system, I'm sorry to say, but you've got a lot of bad bacteria. And this green is really good bacteria, and there's going to be a lot of chaos going in with the good and the bad, and almost like fighting each other.
Right.
So we've learned to tell people that when you start off a health plan, start slowly and gradually. Otherwise, something could happen because people's systems are not very clean, especially Americans.
Absolutely. So you're talking about not being too aggressive with a detoxification program.
Right, starting off slowly.
Is that right?
Yes, I want to hear your thoughts on a little more on
that. Yeah, I completely agree, and that's a great point you make. And as a nutritionist yourself, I know you've been involved in this field for many years. You're well aware of the so-called Herxheimer response, which is that that negative detoxification effect, that if you take too much greens or you take too much of an antioxidant or too much of a colon cleansing product, you download too drastically and aggressively, and ultimately it causes a reabsorption of toxin into your bloodstream. You can actually push toxins into the bloodstream and then make yourself sick, because then the liver and the kidney have to deal with that in a somewhat of an unnatural way. So you have to be careful with moving the body from a state of dis-ease, or a state of chronic unwellness back to a state of health. And I think the name of the game is to romance the body into health. So that is just moving slowly, taking baby steps at first. As in anything right. that we do, it's always wise to walk before we run.
Right, exactly. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Another question I was asked to ask you is, and it's dear to me too, because I have a prostate problem. Men over 40 and then over 50, they get worse and worse prostate. I know mm-hmm. you studied this with Dr. Bob Marshall, and you mm-hmm. are. I'd like to get your thoughts for those of us that are concerned about prostate.
Well, I'm glad you asked that, because prostate is like so many things in the body. I don't think of them. We've learned to think not about them as a problem specific to the prostate, but more as a problem specific to our general health. That is to say that men who have prostate problems lack activity and exercise. They have impaired or compromised circulation going to the floor of the pelvis. So most of these men, Bob, as you know, they're couch potatoes. They're sitting at a desk yes. at work 8 hours a day, and then they go home and they don't do a whole lot. So most of them, not all of them, but most of them that you'll find, really suffer from a lack of activity and exercise. That's number one. Number two, you look at their dietary intake, and they lack the right essential fatty acids. They're taking in a lot of the wrong fatty acids from highly heated oils, from red meat sometimes, not that red meat's necessarily evil, but at the same time, sometimes people just overconsume it in relationship to the amount of plant food that they're taking in. So we need the thousands of phytonutrients and compounds that are plant compounds, antioxidants, that are anti-cancer and anti-inflammatory. The prostate was the organ that the researchers originally discovered the hormone-like compounds, prostaglandins, as you know. Prostaglandins are either in a category of pro-inflammatory or they're anti-inflammatory. So we know that things like flaxseed and flaxseed oil and cod liver oil, eating fish, olive oil, eating raw nuts, all give rise to the anti-inflammatory prostaglandins, which are always going to be helpful for the prostate, whereas red meat and, of course, any highly heated oils, particularly deep-fried foods, give rise to the pro-inflammatory prostaglandins, which are always going to be deleterious to the prostate, to the function of the prostate. We also know that the prostate, of course, needs zinc. It needs a number of other minerals, particularly magnesium. So it's really an idea of providing a well-rounded diet that is high in antioxidants, high in plant food, antioxidants, essential fatty acids, and reducing or keeping to a bare minimum the amount of toxic stressing foods to the body that are going to stress the prostate as well.
Can you repeat? I've got a few gentlemen that are a little bit elderly, and I'm taking notes down too, but I want to, for their sake, you mentioned flaxseed, cod liver oil. Can you mention those each four and just a little more? And
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So people can take these notes down, because I have some people that have a prostate problems.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the prostate's going to benefit mostly from, I would say, a well-rounded essential fatty acid product. You know that it was Udo Erasmus who wrote the book Fats That Heal, Fats That Kill. That would be a good book for anyone in your audience to obtain and to read. It's very readable. You don't have to be a biochemist or a doctor necessarily to understand. It's an easy read. Udo Erasmus, Fats That Heal, Fats That Kill. Dr. Mary Enig, also E-N-I-G, also has written some wonderful works on, as a lipid biochemist, on fats and oils. That becomes a major topic in understanding what's really truly good for the prostate. So the essential fatty acids are the major category. Keeping out the negatives. That's the highly heated foods, deep fried. Any baked goods are highly heated oils, either, you know, either butter or oil in baked goods, including just regular bread, by the way. And then taking in plenty of antioxidants. There's also a concept, obviously we all know about Pygium africanum and IP6 and inositol hexanicotinate, which is helpful for the prostate. Isoflavones from soy, you know, if they're fermented, isoflavones are very helpful for cleaning off the estrogen receptor site, which us men also have estrogen receptor sites in the body. So you want to try to clean out chemicals that bind to different parts of the body, and the prostate is certainly one of those areas. The prostate is just the size of a walnut, as most people know, but it has a profound influence on the entire body because of these hormone-like substances called prostaglandins that it synthesizes. So it's very important to think of the total lifestyle and dietary intake when it comes to prostate health. And there's even some very novel approaches like mud packing that are very helpful for the prostate.
Excellent. This is good. All right. Mm-hmm. We were talking about the American diet a little bit and some of the foods that people eat. Let's talk about the American diet and the fact that in this country we have more cancer, heart disease, dementia, diabetes than any other country in the world because we eat so bad. So much fast food, so much processed food. We need to have more of the Mediterranean type diet, plant-based diets of fruits.
That's right.
Vegetables, nuts, and seeds.
Absolutely.
Give me your thoughts on all that, please.
Well, as you're talking about nuts and seeds, many people, Bob, as you know, maybe some in your audience know this and some don't, that nuts and seeds are very high in protein. They're also high in the essential fatty acids that I was just discussing that are very helpful to the body that counteract the harmful fats that we sometimes encounter in restaurant food and highly heated cooked food. One of the most important things to consider when you're talking about moving more toward a raw food diet, if you're not used to it, again, the concept is to romance the body into slowly, especially the gastrointestinal tract, into slowly getting used to more raw food. If you shift from being in a primarily cooked food diet into a primarily raw food diet, your gut ecology, that's all the species of bacteria, and we have more single-cell bacteria in our gut than we have cells that make up the entire body. So the gut ecology is an organ in and of itself, and most people don't think of it that way, but it is indeed that way, and that's why we always have to think about re-inoculating the gut with the friendly bacteria and considering the fact that sometimes gastrointestinal disorders such as irritable bowel or colitis or what some people, you know, we use these different terms like Crohn's disease and celiac sprue. These are serious conditions, ulcerative gastrointestinal conditions, but they oftentimes at their underlying cause have simply a serious imbalance of the intestinal bacteria. So as we move more into a raw food diet, you're eliminating a lot of antigenic or allergenic food components that cause inflammatory response. One of those, of course, we're all familiar with is gluten. And there are certain conditions in such as celiac and Crohn's that are considered gluten enteropathies. Those are diseases that are exacerbated or sometimes directly caused or induced by the protein in wheat called gluten. There can also be other common allergenic proteins such as cow's milk. That's one of the most common for the entire population. Corn is certainly one of them. Soy is a common allergen for a fairly large percentage of the population, as much as people don't realize that. If it's fermented soy, it's not such a problem, but regular soy protein can sometimes be allergenic to people. And then, of course, there's cheese and red wine and different allergens that some people are very sensitive to.
Yeah, that's the American diet. And the other side of the American diet would be in many countries, they do more prevention, and we need to do that here. I mean, that's, I know the kind of work you're doing and some of the great holistic alternative doctors, we're getting more and more into prevention. And even some of the regular doctors, the new survey taken recently that 35% of all medical doctors, it's up to 35 now, that are teaching people to exercise, to walk, to eat more fruits, more vegetables. They didn't do that some years ago. And, you know, so this is great. Let's talk about prevention as a way to stay healthy.
Yes. Well, as the saying goes that we're all familiar with, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And that saying, that's axiomatic to living, having longevity and living a healthy, successful life, long life. And, of course, you know, there's also the saying that it's not the years in your life necessarily so much as it's the life in your years. We want to enjoy good health. We don't want to spend the last 10 or 15 or 20 years pulling an oxygen tank behind us, as we see some people have to, usually due to smoking and emphysema. We don't want to have to lay on our back the rest of our life necessarily because of some chronic disease that, you know, we waited too long. And once you pass that magic boundary where you've really broken down and degenerated, it's much more difficult, Bob, as you know, to get back to balance, to return to a state of health from a state of disease and dysfunction. So prevention is simply saying, you know, I'm going to take an intelligent, calculated approach, and I'm going to look forward. It's still out of pain. I think I better start a savings account now or get some insurance maybe for my kids and start paying it on a monthly basis so I don't leave my kids with nothing. Or I don't end up at 65 years old with no money in the bank and rely on Social Security. We all know that logically, but we don't always apply that same truth and that same concept to our physical well-being because we think, well, we always have the doctor, quote-unquote, to go to. But remember, again, the doctor is the fix-it shop, and they may not be able to fix it once something goes wrong. So prevention really is, you know, the most important thing we can think about. And it doesn't have to be something that is a radical. You don't have to become overzealous, but you do have to make intelligent decisions and small changes that maybe lead to bigger changes. People that generally sit in a bar and drink at happy hour tend to also maybe smoke or drink or eat, you know, not such good food. You tend to go to the gym. You also have a tendency maybe to eat a little healthier, to start being more conscious of what you're putting in your mouth. So we know that habits are clustered together. They become associated. So that's why making small changes, going for walks, getting more walking, drinking more purified water, stretching, getting into a stretching regimen, whether it's yoga or any other type of stretching, these are all good starting points for prevention. And then start asking, especially, what is a disease-preventing, health-promoting dietary intake and what will work for me as an individual?
You know, David, on this show, we're going more and more into aging. I have a daughter at age 29. I was speaking to her recently, and I told her that the story about the fact that aging actually starts somewhere about 27 or 28 years old. She said, and I told her she's got to start thinking about it. She said, "Oh no, Dad, I'm young. I'm very young." I finally convinced her after a while. I gave her some information and kept talking to her about it, and she now realizes. So I've got her more in a health conscious, and I said, "Dad, I'm getting old." I said, "No, you're not getting old. You're just the process you have to start at a young age." You were saying this a little while ago that how people turn 65, 70 years old, and they're just sickly dead. I mean, they're bad. 80 years old, they're just falling apart. They're senile. They can barely walk. Their joints are bad. You got to keep going to the doctor. We need to start getting people at age 25 and 30 to start thinking about their future, and they don't. But we need to teach them to eat better, exercise more, all the things that we talk about on aging. I want your thoughts on that. We're winding down the show, so let's move a little faster here on the booth. We have a little more to cover, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. Well, I think what you're saying is to address one of the sort of foundational methodologies that I have that I teach all of the people that I encounter is the three pillars of health and the nine health destroyers. Those three pillars of health are addressing the structural structural and musculoskeletal. That's your spine, your muscles, your posture. The second one is nutritional biochemical, which is mostly what we're discussing today. The third one is psychological emotional. Those are the three pillars of health that must be considered and thought about. And obviously, the psychological emotional has to do with stress, has to do with maybe a dysfunctional upbringing, which can be addressed, you know, after the fact. It has to do with fear, anger, guilt. These are all factors that play into stressing the body physiologically. But my expertise obviously has been more in addressing the musculoskeletal and the nutritional biochemical. And the amount of changes, even minor subtle changes that can have a profound effect on the body, is just amazing when you start to consider that every medical therapy pales by comparison when you consider that it's what we think, act, and feel and do on a daily basis that can change. And the science behind this is becoming more and more well known, that we have more power over our own lives and over how our bodies respond to our external environment than we realize.
That's great. You know, speaking of Dr. Gary Null, he was in town about a year and a half ago the last time. And, we went to go eat, right? And, of course, we eat at nothing but organic, vegan places, the best of the best. And he's even fussy with those. I mean, every time Gary goes into one of those restaurants, if he's never been there before, he'll walk over towards the kitchen. He'll pass by the waitress and says, "Where are you going?" He just keeps walking. He'll go in and speak to the cook, and sometimes the cook is nearby. So I've seen him talk to him. He wants to know what's in the food, how is he fixing the food, what kind of oils he's using, et cetera, et cetera. He's really picky. And this has to do with the American diet is so bad. Restaurants, the food in restaurants is horrible. So people have to eat more raw, more beef, you know. And then one more thing that I want to touch on, and I want your thoughts on it too. When you go to a cancer therapy, like I talked to Gabriel Cousins the other day. He's got a place in Arizona, and we talked to Charlotte Gerson. She has a place in La Jolla and Tijuana. When you go to a cancer place, they give you raw food, raw juices, and raw food, greens.
Yes.
And this is what we should eat before we get to that point.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I'm glad you brought that up. First of all, I've had dinner and had the great opportunity to meet Dr. Cousins with Dr. Marshall. And, he's a very interesting guy in that, you know, being a medical doctor, he became aware of the limitations of our medical approach, of course, to health and disease. And he started asking different questions. I think he had a personal crisis, a personal injury that he had to address that he, of course, didn't have all the answers to. He started seeking and asking different questions, which led him into this whole field of alternative medicine as a medical doctor. And now, of course, he's dramatically helped improve the success of so many people's lives from a health perspective, because he's led them into thinking about raw food and juicing. And as you mentioned, juicing, I have every single person I work with start to juice using some combination of fresh, organic vegetable juice, specifically vegetable, not fruit necessarily. And I believe that's one of the most powerful medicines that we can use is fresh juicing. I've seen literally things occur like in the miracle category just from beginning to use fresh juicing, things like carrot celery juice. So I think that's really crucial. And I'm sorry, go ahead, because you had said some other things that I wanted to comment on.
I like what you said about juice, and that's another, we've had a whole show on juicing. It's so important. And that's juicing is so important. That's another thing they do at cancer clinics. So if you want to do prevention, if you want to live right, juicing is so, so important. Green juices, red juices. We have time to get. I want your thoughts on red juices, the antioxidants, the cherries, the berries, all the berry family, and the pomegranate. There are so many wonderful things in red juices, antioxidants. I want your quick thoughts on that,
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when I go and make a salad for myself, it's interesting. A lot of people remark, and I've done this over the years. Just I do it now out of habit, because I've learned from so many people, so many of the greats that we mentioned. It's funny you mentioned Dr. Pablo Arola. Are you confused? That was such a brilliant title, and he recognized that was one of the biggest problems in the field of nutrition and wellness is the amount of confusion. That's why our discussion today hopefully will help clear up some people's confusion and maybe cause some confusion for some people. But hopefully it'll help make certain things clear to them that there are black and white issues in the field of clinical nutrition and the field of health and disease. There's also a large area that we call the gray area that, you know, you could go either way based on your genetic uniqueness, based on you as an individual. Not everybody is, as I said, a meat eater. Not everybody needs to be 100% vegan raw foodist. But again, there are certain principles that are in the best interest of most of our genes. And if we recognize that, then we're going to obviously do much better long-term in terms of our longevity and in terms of maintaining a youthful appearance and maintaining our health later in our years. So having said that, I think that more and more people are recognizing, Bob, that they have to make changes, and those changes must be a little bit more well thought through in terms of prevention. Preventing disease is different than treating disease. You can treat disease, treat chronic illness, using nutritional medicine. Before there was ever allopathic medicine, there was something that we call what we refer to now as alternative medicine or functional medicine. That was the conventional means of treating disease many years ago. That's why we understand traditional Chinese medicine and Ayurvedic medicine as being thousands of years old, and the principles and methods of thinking through health and disease in the body come from those disciplines. So as we start to think about prevention really is simply adopting lifestyle habits, reflexive behavior that we don't have to really try anymore because they come naturally. I don't wake up in the morning and think, gee, I wonder if I should drive through McDonald's today and get a Big Mac. It's not even a consideration. If I was starving, I wouldn't do that. But many people do that because it is part of their consciousness to consider Carl's Jr. or McDonald's. But once you stop doing those things for long enough period of time, you'll just realize and you start becoming aware and educating yourself as to how deleterious those things are to your body, you'll start realizing, you know, I don't need to make those kinds of choices because I have better options.
Yeah, I'm with one of my people that are I'm helping with their health, and they just wrote me a little question about to ask you about olive oil. You mentioned that earlier about some of the cleanses are doing all the olive oil and people don't like olive oil. And I have heard some very great success with olive oil, with yes. some other things. Tell us more about the good and the bad of that olive oil, if you could, please.
Well, interestingly, olive oil is not really one of those oils that's the richest in the essential fatty acids. The essential fatty acids being alpha-linoleic acid and alpha-linolenic acid. Those are the two only truly essential fatty acids. From those two, our body can synthesize all the other fatty acids, such as gamma-linolenic acid, and then, of course, the end-chain fatty acids that we find in fish, such as eicosapentaenoic, EPA.
Dr. Dable, what I meant was how olive oil applies to cleanses, because people use it in certain cleanses. And what do you think of that? You mentioned it earlier, but if you could go just a little more quickly in depth on why people use olive oil to cleanse, and your thoughts on is it good or bad or what?
The olive oil specifically has a cleansing effect. As I was just saying, it doesn't have. It's not the richest in the essential fatty acids, although it does obviously have some essential fatty acids. But the real benefit of olive oil is it has a lot of chlorophyll in it. We all know that good quality olive oil has a green tinge to it, so it's fairly rich in chlorophyll. And it has other benefits, the specific profile of fatty acids that have somewhat of cleansing effect, similar to when you give your car an oil change. We all know we need to give our car an oil change to clean out the valves and all the cylinders of the gunk that's in our car engine. We don't realize often that we have to give our bodies an oil change. And yes. They do indeed need an oil change, and that's what olive oil does. When you do a liver gallbladder flush, is you're actually giving the liver and gallbladder and the whole body an oil change. You're cleansing the veins and arteries. You're cleansing all the little spaces in the liver and gallbladder using the olive oil. And of course, when you eat olive oil on a regular basis, you're kind of doing that on a continual basis.
Yeah, for those listeners who came in late and And I do want you to give us our contact information, Dr. David. But this is Dr. David Cirio. He's a nutritional cleanser, and he's into biochemical work. He does a lot of great things. And let's give me your contact. Give us your contact information, and then I have another question for you after that.
Absolutely. Our website is nutritionalmedicine.com, and our toll-free number is 888-405-2121.
Great. And, yeah, I'd like to have you on again to talk about, there's so much to do with cleansing, and because it's getting more popular and all over this country. There's a movement that's coming in more and more about people getting healthier. I go to all the health shows, that, as I've told you, and I notice that every year certain health shows get a few more people. And that's exciting. Health is a big thing. Give me a 2 or 3 minute, if you could wind down, just your final thoughts on some way to motivate our listeners about you, your work, and health and nutrition. Give us a couple minutes of that, please.
Absolutely. Well, I think the thing to do when you're starting off with the concept of trying to make changes in your body, beneficial changes to improve your overall health and function, the concept of cleansing is to detoxify the body gently but effectively. And, you know, many people, Bob, come to us as alternative medicine doctors, and they say, you know, the doctor says there's nothing wrong with me, but I still have aches and pains. I get tired, feel tired all the time. I am constipated. I have trouble sleeping. I get bloated. I often get headaches. They have back and joint pain. And these are symptoms of what we refer to as the walking wounded. They don't fit into a diagnostic-related group where you can actually diagnose a pathology or a disease. But nonetheless, they're not optimal function. So that brings us back to the concept, is health merely the absence of disease, or is it the presence of optimal function? Of course, what we're discussing today and for your audience is we want to help people and educate them and bring their awareness up to bring them to a level of optimal function. That's what health really is supposed to be defined as, not merely the absence of disease, and there's a big difference. So having said that, when I take a starting point approach for people, the best thing to do is start by cleansing the colon. That's a starting point for everyone. Clean the colon and then go to the liver and gallbladder. Start to slowly shift your pH into a more alkaline range. We know that's a foundation for good health. Eliminate things such as sodas, if you drink sodas. Reduce or minimize your coffee intake, your, you know, any type of drink that may be acidifying. Fruit juices are highly, highly sugarized thing. Even though they're natural, they're partitioned food. You shouldn't drink too much fruit juice, but vegetable juice, carrot, celery juice is fantastic for the entire body, including the liver and the kidney and the colon. It shifts the pH of the body gently but effectively. I think when you think about cleaning the gallbladder, because the gallbladder is an organ of digestion, the gallbladder is what holds the bile. The bile is synthesized by your liver, and bile allows you to emulsify or break down your dietary fats and oils that you eat. So one of the first symptoms that people experience, Bob, as you know, is belching and burping, indigestion, bloating, gas. These are all symptoms of dysfunctional gallbladder. That could be gallstones. It could be sludge. It could be just a minimal. There's different types of stones and sludge in the gallbladder. So it's really a commonality among all human beings that they get a sludgy condition in their gallbladder. So it should be thought of just as important as cleansing the colon. But we always start by first cleansing the colon. So the first 9 days of our cleanse involves colon cleansing and gently cleansing the liver. And then the 10th day is sort of a more aggressive cleansing of the gallbladder using the olive oil.
Listen, this has been great. I want to tell all our listeners to go out and cleanse yourself. Call Dr. David Cirio. Go to a cleanser if he's not near you. And this is so important to get started. Your wellness starts with cleansing. This is so great. Listen, Dr. David Cirio, thank you so much. It's been wonderful. Want to have you on again. Great information for our listeners.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's been a delight. And I'm located in Southern California, just in case your listeners don't know. And, again, you can always give my my website and contact information, phone number. I'd be happy to help somebody if they would be interested in receiving some direct influence and direct consultation.
I have one or two people that I may be bringing to you soon, so we'll be in contact. Thank you.
Wonderful. It was a pleasure. Thank you, Bob.
Okay, great. All right, we'll wind down the show. If you like the show, if you like previous shows that we've had, check the archives under Let's Create a Better World. And to get into the show, it's prn.fm. As you probably know, I'm going to give you my phone number if you have any questions or suggestions or ideas, 370-1925. If you like the show, rate us on iTunes. If you want to call the show and you're not near a laptop or computer, call the number I'm going to give you now, which is area 712-432-7238. There are several numbers, but this is one of the newer numbers, so it may not be as busy. I want to thank everybody for being with us. I want to thank our producer in New York, Jason, our engineer doing great work, Melissa, the producer in L.A., Jimmy D., our associate producer, Stuart Hassel. I want to thank all the listeners who came in. I want to thank our guest today, which was Dr. David Cirio, our great show on wellness and cleansing. In the next few weeks, we're going to talk about ending all wars, a new committee that I'm on that's really going to do some great things. We're going to talk about cell phone radiation, exercise, yoga, and moving the body. Okay, love yourself. Be the change. Take care of yourself. Thank you so much, everyone. And have a great week. We'll see you again next Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time.